it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome back to the UCL Fantasy Podcast. As we head towards match day 11, we look back on match day 10. We say help, everybody is out in our teams. I think everyone's in the same boat with that one. We look at the fixtures, we'll answer some questions and we'll say what we're doing. All of that to come on the UCL Fantasy Podcast. Hello, gents. How are you both? Dan, how are you? Have you had a good week? Are you looking forward to match day 11?
Yeah, mate. Really good week. Excited to get cracking with Champions League. It's the best football. It's going to be quite interesting with the no English teams as well. So that's, I find that quite exciting. But yeah, it's been a good week training for the dreaded game week 39, Ed. How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been all right. No training for any such thing. You seem much more chipper, Dan. Does that have anything to do with the fact that you had a good week last week and beat both of us in match day 10? Does that have anything to do with that? Because suddenly you sound like Mr. Optimistic here.
Maybe. I don't know. I've just been to the gym, so perhaps it's the endorphins.
Okay, let's say it's the endorphins.
Well, no, I've just seen that Edison's gone off injured on my wild card, so I don't know. I've got nothing to be cheery about, mate.
Oh, that's annoying. Lewis, how are you? You both actually beat me this week. We'll come on to our scores in a minute. But yeah, how are you? How was your match day 10? Are you looking forward to match day 11?
Not good to know are the answers to that, Ed. I went, obviously, we'll talk about my team shortly, but I went heavy on Man City. I fully expected them to go through. I think Real Madrid were lucky to go through. They just have that ability, don't they, to just scrape through no matter what. But I mean, I'm looking forward to trying to build a starting 11 for the new round. That's going to be a challenge in itself, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, talk us through your team then. Let's just do that now. So how did your team do? What went well? What went badly? And who's gone out for you?
Yep, so I managed 50 points this week. I went really heavy on Manchester City. I managed to do something we spoke about prior to the round starting, and that was to get in KDB, Silva, Foden and Haaland. But yeah, I was really looking forward to it. But obviously, Kevin De Bruyne captaincy was massive. It was huge because in a week where everything was quite poor, you know, like, the Arsenal assets didn't do too well. I know Ian Matson got the goal as well for Dortmund, which only a select few of us would have had, especially on this pod anyway. It was pretty much
if there's one player who represents the pod this year, it's probably Ian Matson because we all got him and he's done really well. Yeah. But anyway, carry on.
But yeah, Barcelona. I felt that going heavy on Barcelona would be a good tactic considering they were a goal ahead, they were playing at home. I was just convinced. Obviously, Rafinha scored early, but then it went pretty much downhill quickly. And obviously, Mbappe, the player that every time I sell Mbappe, he scores two goals.
Maybe don't sell him then. Maybe that's a sign. Just actually looked at your team, Lewis. Crikey, you've got 11 players who've gone out.
It's not been good.
Glorious.
I mean, ultimately, I've had a really bad season, but I'm around 10K. I don't know if that, I don't, well, I'm obviously not happy with that, but you know, there's a target there to get inside the top 10k. I'm sure it's feasible, maybe even top 5k. But I think now at this point, I think looking to the most obvious assets would be pretty pointless for me. I think I'm going to go for different this week, pretty much.
Very good. Dan, why don't you take us through your team that you did quite well, didn't you? And who's gone out and like what your kind of top level thoughts are?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably quicker just say who's left in at this rate. My team did really well. I got 66 points, had Rare in goal for three, had Mattson, 2% owned in the entire game, 8 points, had Saliba for three, Ruben Diaz for four, had Julian Brandt. So he was a transfer in. I brought Julian Brandt in for 11 points. Odegaard got 2 points, rubbish. Foden, 2 points, rubbish. Kevin De Bruyne, 8 points. I brought him in. Kylian Mbappe was my captain, 9-18. Rafinha, 5 points, brought him in for Haaland. And Harry Kane, 2 points, rubbish. So overall, it was all right. Players out, here we go. Martin Odegaard, William Saliba, Jan Sommer, who was out anyway, David Raya, Ruben Diaz, John Stones, Kubasi, Foden, De Bruyne, Rafinha. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I've got 10 players out, 5 players in. So if I use all 5 transfers, I'm still playing with 10 players. So I may take one hit. But I'm pretty set on a couple of players I want to bring in, and I'm pretty set on a sort of strategy. So at least I can narrow it down.
Very good. I had the worst week of all 3 of us. I got 44 points, so pretty gutted, really. I ended up captaining Kane for 4 points. I had Mattson, who got 8 points. I had Lunin in goal, who got 5. I had Dyer, who got me 7. But then the rest are 2s and 3s. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I love how the player that we've been absolutely ripping you to pieces about is your highest scoring player.
Well, he's been so consistent since I got him. I think he's contributed loads.
Genius, Ned. Genius.
I know. It was actually a bit of luck, really. It was just that he was going to play that game and then suddenly he stayed in the team. But no, look, I got 44 points. So I'm back down to 2,700 in the world. I was up to about 1,200 at one point, I think. But here's the but. I think I've only got 8 players who've gone out because, as I said in the pod, I backed Real Madrid to go through. I know you can say they were lucky, but we've said that in years gone past, they just know how to get through. And I backed the non-English team. So I ended up only having 1 Arsenal and 2 Man City players, which has worked very well in my favour. Unfortunately, the error I made was backing Barcelona. If I hadn't done that, I could have almost had everyone go through, but I maxed out almost on bar. Well, I didn't max out. I got 3 Barca players. So I've got to deal with that. So I've got 8 players I need to deal with. If I use all 5 of my transfers, I will be playing with 11 men without a hit. So that's what I'll be aiming for next week. So yeah, but look, just to say, if you're listening, I saw some people tweet or X post or whatever it's called and saying, you know, oh, giving up, season over. I've got 9 players who've gone out, 10 players going out. Just the point, I suppose, is everyone's in the same position, right? Like everyone, there's not going to be many people with you know, loads of people going through because a lot of people backed Man City, a lot of people backed Arsenal. So it's worth sticking out. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go to the fixtures because obviously for Newcastle fans, it is rather galling to see the semi-final of the Champions League. 2 clubs who were in our group, Dortmund and PSG. We obviously battered PSG 4-1. We mentioned that enough on this pod. And PSG only drew with us at home for them because of a dodgy penalty. But anyway, let's start with Bayern Real Madrid on Tuesday. What are you going to be doing, Lewis? I mean, obviously, how many Bayern players do you have already? How many Real Madrid players do you have already? And who are you going to be bringing in?
Well, in terms of Bayern, I've only got Kane. So that's not ideal. And in terms of Real, I've got none. So I've got, I decided to sell all my Real.
Really, a really, really big fixture for you then.
Yeah, massive. Yeah. So, there's a couple of differentials we can look at. We can look at some bits now if you want. Do you want to go to Dan first?
Yeah, go for it. We'll go to Dan first then. Go on, Dan. Have you got anything to talk about on Real and Bayern?
Yeah, on Real and Bayern. So I've got Kane and I've got Bellingham. So at least got one from each. I do think that Real Madrid will go through. So I kind of want to go with them. But there's so few games left now that you still have to target the game that's in front of you. And I do think that Bayern Munich have a much better chance of performing at home. Because of that, for me, the standout player, if you don't already have Kane, obviously it's Kane, but other than that, is Guerrero. We've mentioned him a couple of times in this podcast and never really jumped to get him, but I'm sure in the last couple of games in the Champions League, he's got a couple of assists. He's playing left wing at the minute for Bayern Munich, and he's a defender, so he's an out of position defender that's playing left wing. I don't think we'd be getting him in for the clean sheet against Real Madrid, but it is good to offset that if you are going to have a Real Madrid forward or you are going to go with Jude Bellingham, just in case it all does go a little bit wrong. Real Madrid don't score tons of goals against good teams away from home. They do get results. They beat Real Sociedad 1-0 at the weekend, and they obviously drew with Man City to get to the penalty shootout. So for me, I think Guerrero is a really good pick, but I do want to be getting Real Madrid players in as well. I am likely going to punt for Rodrigo over Vinicius Jr. as a differential because I need to gain rank. And I can't really go any other forwards because I've got Kane and Mbappe. They aren't going anywhere. So I'll be looking to bring in another Real Madrid player. Now, I don't know whether that's going to be a defender, a midfielder. I want to see the starting lineup because we do see the starting lineup. And something to just be aware of is Arrizabalaga played in goal at the weekend, Kepa. So I would have liked Lunin, to be honest. I just think Lunin's a safe pick with how many saves he gets. But I want to make sure that he's actually in the starting lineup. If he
that's
is, gutting, I'll have confidence.
That's my only fit keeper, yeah. So I really hope he does start.
I'll have confidence in him being the starter because Real Madrid massively rotated at the weekend. They did play some starters, but they did massively rotate. So was it a case of just giving Kepa some minutes? Especially after beating Barcelona last week, I think they felt, well, now is the time to rotate. Pretty brave against Sociedad, but still Sociedad have been a bit out of sorts since the new year, as we saw in the Champions League as well. And when we're talking about them, some of their results at the start of the year. So it's going to be interesting to see whether Lunin starts. If he does start, then I will go for him as my goalkeeper because I believe in him for save points. He's just racking up save points left, right and centre for every other sod that's got him.
It seems like it would be really harsh if he got dropped after the, you know, the penalty saves and everything.
I think he's a better keeper than Kepa anyway. He looks like a much better keeper. He can stop shots for a start. It's a big, big selling point for a goalkeeper. And it's not like Kepa's absolutely unbelievable with his feet or anything. So I think that I do think Lunin will start, but there's enough doubt there for me to just think, maybe do I need to go elsewhere? But he's certainly my thoughts. I just want to see that.
Very good. Lewis, over to you.
Yeah, so quite a few bits to pick off from both teams. So Bayern won 4 on the bounce. Now they partnered De Ligt and Dier at centre-back in the latest game. Mazraoui, he played ahead of Davies at left back. Kim came in for De Ligt at half time. Kane scored a brace for Bayern, so that's 35th goal now. Kimmich, as usual, at right back. Again, Dan covered Rafael Guerrero, who played at left wing. We got to see the lineups for that, as Dan mentioned. So he could be a great asset again at 2 assists, I think, in his last 2 home matches, I think, and obviously Bayern are at home again. Gnabry and Sane, they trained today, so they are. Sane is expected to start that game. Sane's done this, hasn't he? You know, he's been injured and he's come in and injured and come in for the Champions League games. But yeah, sources suggest that both Sane and Musiala are going to start that game. Musiala was in training today as well, so he's back fit. Pavlovic could get a start. Lima was injured recently. In terms of Real, they 2-4-4 wins on the bounce. Rudiger, Lunin, Bellingham, Vinicius, Valverde all rested for the last game. Rested as in didn't start the match. Militao picked up his first start against Sociedad, in which he picked up a clean sheet. So straight away, making the back line, Real Madrid back line, stronger. Rudiger the standout in terms of game time, I'd say. Vinny, obviously a goal and assist against Barcelona, one being a penalty. It'd be interesting if he continues that on penalties. Bellingham also scored. Rodrigo wasn't in the squad in the last match, but he also trained yesterday. Tchouaméni, of course, is suspended. Carvajal is okay. Now, in terms of Lunin, the goalkeepers, Courtois is back in training now. So we now have Courtois back. He might not start. He probably won't. But I basically saw that Lunin is set to start, and that was just a rest in his last match. So I would bank on Lunin starting this week, but potentially Courtois starting next, maybe. So in terms of Lunin, I don't think he's long term, but what is long term at this stage?
I might get one more game out of this bargain keeper I've had for 4 or 5 weeks now. So I'm pretty happy with that purchase. Yeah. Sorry, go on. I interrupted.
Yeah, there's a couple of players I do really like actually this week, and I think it, if you're in even your position, Ed, where you're going to try and break into the top 1K, or you've got yourself a target, I do think there are a couple of differentials. Obviously, Dan mentioned Guerrero. We could potentially go for Kim for ball coverage if he starts. Valverde at Real Madrid, I think, could be an interesting option. I think he's around 7.5 midfielder. He scored against City. He also picked up 3 assists in 1 game recently.
Great goal. Valverde. Great goal against City. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a clutch potential, Valverde. You know, he can just come out of nowhere with these great goals and performances and stuff. But one player I really do like is Kimmich. Now, a lot of people will avoid Kimmich because he's a right back, but he's a midfielder in the game. Now, the lack of midfield options is a huge concern. It is, you know, there's not many at all. But in terms of underlying stats, Kimmich leads for total free kicks taken, total corners taken, and total successful crosses taken. And that is in comparison to any player that's played in the Champions League this season. So I think, and obviously Kimmich scored the winning goal against Arsenal. So he's not just a defender. He's on all these set pieces. He's a cross machine. I think he's a great differential if you need a midfielder, basically. But yeah, I really like Valverde. I really like Kimmich. Obviously, defenders, I'm not 100% sure we should be prioritising defenders in this game. I don't know if we're going to see any clean sheets in this one, to be perfectly honest. Real Madrid have proven they can score against anyone. Bayern are really strong at home as well. 2 clean sheets actually for Bayern in the last 2 home games, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, interesting to see how that goes. But yeah, there are differentials there if you're chasing rank, or you need to gain an edge.
Yeah. Okay, well, and answering questions about that game is slightly easier, because what obviously we know, we can caveat everything with if they're in the starting lineup, because we're going to see. The next game, Dortmund-PSG, let's talk about that, because we're not going to see those starting lineups. We are in terms of making subs, but not in terms of transferring them in before this deadline. So, Dan, you've been quite a Dortmund fan. You've had quite a few Dortmund players. Anyone else you're going to be looking to bring in, or is PSG the way to go? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm unsure about who's going to go through from this one. I think the PSG players are probably a little bit more experienced, maybe. In fact, definitely, especially throughout that back line. But that being said, I think for the first game, Dortmund at home was 1-1 in the final group stage game last time round. But Dortmund were already through, and I think they were guaranteed top regardless. So I don't think that's too much to go by. Obviously, Paris Saint-Germain beat them 2-0 in Paris in the first round. So maybe a slight indication of what could happen away. Dortmund got absolutely battered 4-1 at the weekend. But again, lots of rotation. They didn't play their full-strength first-choice team. Players like Sabitzer didn't get any minutes at all. And speaking of Sabitzer, so I already have Brandon Matson. I do think that Sabitzer is a great pick. I would recommend, spoil off some of the questions a bit around. Do you go Brandt or do you go Sabitzer? I'd honestly just go both, genuinely. If you want to go full Krug, obviously we saw what he was capable of in the last game, although a little wasteful as well. And I just think so many of us are going to have Kane, Vinny or Rodrigo, probably Vinny, and Mbappe, which leaves Füllkrug out. Füllkrug would definitely be a more differential player. And you get the cover there with Sabitzer.
It's on pens, is that right?
I don't know. Rice is normally on pens, but he's rarely on the pitch these days. I'll be honest, I don't know who the penalty taker is.
I think I remember, before the last leg, a lot of people brought in Sabitzer, and obviously he scored. And I think they were saying he was on pens because Rice wasn't playing. Is that right, Lewis, or am I making that up? Did I dream that?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
No, I have heard that in conversations. I think obviously with him being rest and stuff, he's become like quite a vital part to the Dortmund squad. He did score a penalty against Mönchengladbach recently as well. So, I mean, if there is a penalty, you know, he scored the last one. So it makes sense, doesn't it?
He's in the conversation. Yeah. He's 5.5 for Dortmund. Yeah, I mean, come on. I think...
No brainer.
Yeah.
Playing at home, and he's playing against a PSG team that don't, you know, they're not exactly solid at the back, although they drew 3-3 at the weekend. Again, they did rest some players, but it was a much stronger team than what Dortmund put out. They were 3-1 down, brought Mbappe on. I don't think Mbappe scored or anything, but brought them back. I think Kobel as well, if you don't want to risk Lunin because he might, you know, he might play this week, but he might not play the week after or for the final or anything like that, and you're just thinking, oh, I can't be bothered with the aggro for a goalkeeper. Kobel playing at home is another save point. Like, he loves making saves. I think it's obviously got a lot to do with Dortmund's defense. So he could be a really good pick. And again, it sort of backs against the Mbappe pick. But I think that at this stage, you're not going to have a choice. You're going to have players from all of these teams. Your goalkeeper is going to be playing against someone here. So if you went for Kane, Rafinha, and Mbappe, the only real choice that you've got, if you didn't want to play a goalkeeper that you don't have a forward against, would be to have Donnarumma, if that was the case. But then you've got Brandt and Sabitzer in there anyway, probably.
Yeah, it's going to be almost impossible.
And you want
impossible.
Them to score.
At this stage, it's impossible to hedge your bets.
I think at this stage, what I want is to sort of get saves. I want to guarantee saves. And I just think Kobel and Lunin are the two best goalkeepers for that at this stage. Neuer is obviously an amazing keeper, but I think the quality of chances that Bayern might concede to Real Madrid, I just don't really fancy that at all. And like I say, I don't see them going through overall, whereas PSG, Dortmund, flip the coin for who's going to go through on this one. But I think that Dortmund will have the advantage going into the second leg just because they've got the home advantage.
Very good. Lewis, what about this second fixture? What do you reckon?
Yeah, just a few bits at this. Dortmund, they were absolutely hammered by Leipzig in their latest league game, 4-1, and they fielded quite a strong starting 11, to be honest. Martin was suspended for the last match, so
Sancho scored a great goal, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. So he obviously was involved in the only goal. I think he picked up a yellow card as well. But yeah, it was a strong lineup. But they were away from home. We've seen that Dortmund are a home side. You know, they get better results at home. You know, similar to
they also rotated like players in that haven't played full 90 minutes in a long time. Like they changed formation. They played a 4-5-2. They had Wolf and Ryerson at fullbacks.
4-5-2. That's an incredible formation. I think they cheated.
Sorry, 4-5. It is. They lost with 12 players on the pitch. 4-5-1 opposed to like the normal dip. They had like Ozkan is rubbish. He is an awful player. Truly awful. Mm-hmm. He started in the middle. Necha hasn't played in a while. They had Adeyemi as a right-sided midfielder. Like it was a bit all over the place. Like when you're up against Leipzig, who are above them in the league, like I don't think it was strong. Personally,
what is worth mentioning is obviously the injury to Hummels, because that can be quite a significant one. He's expected to start the game against PSG, but I think there's still some unsurety there. Like there's a lot of people that are kind of questioning whether he'll start. Enough for me to think, okay, you know. What could happen there? Mark Malin also injured recently. Sabitzer, like you said, I think he got a full rest. A lot of people asking questions. Dan, you already mentioned it. You know, Brandt, I think he takes corners. He had a really good game, I thought, in the last leg. Dan, I think you owned him for that. Picked up 11 points, got a goal, player of the match award. And this is something that we've discussed before with Brandt. You know, he is their best player on his day, isn't he? You know, he's got the extra bit of spice to get the player of match award as well. If Dortmund have a good game, and then he's likely to be in the running for the player of the match award. So I think for me, he remains the standout, although Sabitzer is still a great option, you know, potentially on penalties. We don't know. He did take the last one.
The issue at this stage of the game is, I think, Sabitzer, obviously, for 5.5 is a no-brainer, you kind of think. But finances are less of an issue now. Because I've just been playing around and I could get Brandt or Sabitzer. It doesn't make a difference to my money because I'm transferring out players like Haaland and Foden and Saka, who cost a lot, and Cancelo. So now it looks like money's not going to be an issue. I can kind of get whoever I want who's left. So maybe it's Brandt then. I don't know.
Yeah. 100%. And I think Atletico were quite hectic in that match where Sabitzer got two goals and assists or whatever it was. He got 14 points. What is worth mentioning, though, is Sabitzer has picked up returns prior to that game, though. He picked up three assists in the Champions League before that. He picked up a goal and assist against Mönchengladbach, albeit one was a penalty. I think obviously it's hard to ignore the price. You know, we spent all campaign looking for budget players, see him at 5.5 and think, yeah, he's an amazing asset. But I also think that obviously we can kind of overplay the fact that he's cheap. Maybe just forget the price tag, look at what he's done so far recently. He is returning, probably returning more than a lot of his other attacking teammates. So I think regardless of price, I think he's definitely worth a mention. Obviously Sancho as well, Ed, you said that he scored in the last match. Dortmund have got so many, it could be a lot of swings with Dortmund. Obviously the play at home, I'm expecting them to score. I think they will score, but it's all about picking who is going to score. And I think Dan hit the nail on the head there. I think picking two Dortmund midfielders could be the way to go. In terms of PSG, you know, they can be a bit dodgy away from home. Beraldo's in and out. Hakimi started and scored in the last match. Zet Emery and Vitinha paired in midfield. Zet Emery got the assist, but Vitinha's obviously got two back-to-back goals in the Champions League. So both central midfielders could be an interesting shot. But again, money is not kind of... It's not something that we're thinking about at the moment. So, you know, do we forget about those players now because they're cheap and we have loads of money? Or do we look at what we've done? Look at what they've done, Vitinha in particular, because I still think Vitinha could be a good differential. You know, we've already mentioned the likes of Sabitzer could be a great differential. I even think if Hummels is fine and fit, you know, he's picked up, he's registered 99 ball recoveries in the Champions League so far.
He's the highest scoring defender of any player in the game, I think.
Yeah. So I think 99 ball recoveries. I think it works out around 17 extra points in the game split across the, you know, the match days in which he started, because I think there's a few that he's not played in. So that is really, really good. Obviously, he's got a bit of attacking threat, picked up the assist as well. Schlotterbeck, he's, you know, I think he's top five for ball recoveries. But then they've got so many good defensive options, haven't they, Dortmund? You know, Dan's mentioned Kobel. We've got Ian Mattsson, who scored. We've got Hummels, who's got the most ball recoveries. Schlotterbeck's up there as well. I think you could go for a Dortmund defender this week, but then I also think you have to buy Mbappe. You know, take it from me, you know, not having Mbappe is a nightmare. It's not good. It's not good for your health. So if you haven't got him, make sure he's kind of a priority transfer in. Yeah, 100%.
Look, we've got 5 or 6 minutes left before we're going to get cut off. But let's do a couple of things. First of all, both of you, will you be? I just want a yes or no, or a yes, then a caveat. Will you be taking a hit this week, Lewis?
Yeah, small one, I think. Yeah,
small one being one hit, two hits.
Yeah, I think -4 would be enough. I'd quite happily play with 9 players this week, but make sure half of them are differentials, because if I'm picking, you know, players like Sabitzer, albeit a lot of people are going to pick Sabitzer, you know, those kind of players, Vitinha maybe, and they have, you know, a good game, I think my 9 players can easily beat an 11 player team. It's same with captaincy. You know, captaincy is massive this week. If you have 11 players and captain a player who blanks, and another manager has 9 players and captain's a player who goes big, you know, you've beaten them. So I don't think numbers is key this week. I think it's obviously what the players pick up in terms of points, which is obvious, I know, to many.
It's going to be hard not to, on day one, captain Harry Kane at home, isn't it? 42 goals in 42 games this season.
Well, he's the obvious choice. He's definitely the obvious choice.
Are you saying you're going to go with someone else?
Potentially. Yeah, I don't see, if you're chasing rank, I don't see the benefit of picking Kane captain. I think he's the obvious. I think he's the standout. I think if you want a game rank, you go for Vinicius, who is up against Kimmich, by the way. Kimmich, I love Kimmich. What a player he is. But he's got no chance catching up to Vinicius, has he? You know.
Yeah, so okay. Yeah, all right. Dan, is it hit or not?
No idea yet, Ed. I haven't decided. The one thing about this game is, at least it's easier to get points. It's not FPL where it's like quite rigid in how you're going to score points. At least in this, it's flexible enough that a player could concede a goal but get multiple ball recoveries.
Yeah, Kim. So the upside Kim do this season, yeah.
Yeah, like there's what Lewis said there, like there's upside to getting Hummels if you think he's going to play because of how many ball recoveries he could get. And even if it's just, you know, if he just gets 5 points, that's a 1 point gain. But then it puts you in a stronger position for the second leg. Mm. I think one hit is probably a clever idea for me. I think taking hits so that you can get 11 players out, it's probably good. I would not be taking hits just to have people on my bench. I think that's a total waste.
Brilliant. All right. Well, let's do a couple of questions before we end. We've got 3 or 4 minutes. Submergewell FPL asks a good question. With 5 transfers, I can get to 11 playing players. Is it wise to take a hit for a 12th player? And what would be the best place for it? So, well, you just answered, Dan. Yeah, no. Lewis, do you agree with Dan?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it depends on the player you're bringing in. If you're bringing in a player just to make up numbers, then probably not. But I think if it's a differential and you're really keen on it, you know, say a Sabitzer or a Kimmich or you know, one of the Vitinhas, one of the players that we've already mentioned, then why not? But I feel like anything more than a -4 is no good, I'd say. Okay.
Sizzlers, FPL SMR, says Valverde or Brandt? Lewis.
Brandt. Sorry.
It's all right. I knew you already had Brandt, which is why I went to Lewis.
I think it totally depends on the situation. I think if you're looking to, you know, stay at a certain rank, I think a lot of the most experienced players are going to bring in Brandt. He's Dortmund's standout attacker. A lot of people are going to buy Brandt this week. But not a lot of people are going to buy Valverde. So again, if you're looking to get him wrong, Valverde could be the pick. But obviously, if you're looking to hold them, Brandt.
Davies or Dyer? Davies definitely going to play. He didn't play the last round, but
Dyer has to be.
Right. I've already got Dyer, so that's a good answer.
Has to be Eric Dyer. Like, Davies barely gets attacking returns. He barely plays. Dyer will probably make up for it in ball recoveries anyway, and he's borderline guaranteed to start.
Yeah, okay. I think I agree with Dan there. I think he's going to be up against either Rodrigo or Vinicius, depending on who's on which wing, which, you know, it's not ideal really, is it?
Okay, brilliant. We'll call it there, guys. Thank you very, very much. Good luck in match day 11. We'll be back next week to pre... When's the next games after this? Is it back-to-back weeks again, or is it...
Next week, yeah.
Oh, great. So we'll be back next week. Good luck to everyone except Lewis and Dan, who I'm trying to beat in the mini league. I'm still 27 points ahead, I think, so holding this lead at the moment. But good luck, everyone. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye, everyone. Look.
Podcast Network.